Excited for this one and a couple more in the future because I'm connecting with a couple pastors and
you're a recording artist, man. And so, kind of gives you context just about me, especially. I got baptized about 3 weeks ago, man. So this is a little. Yes, I appreciate that. So my journey with God has always been interesting, but it's always really cool when you see people displaying their love and affection for God through art or music. And so getting a chance to connect with you and learn more about you, man, I'm super excited, brother. So I appreciate you joining the show, man. So tell me something about you, man. Who is Jordan Oliver? Like, where are we from? How do we get here? What got us to the journey of what we do today?
All right, cool. Well, I am from the great state of Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Oklahoma City. You know, every time I say that, people are like, "Oh, Oklahoma." Yeah, no. Born and raised here all my life. My love for music started when I was really like 1 year old, one or two. My mom used to tell a story how my first song that I sung was "Open My Heart" by Yolanda Adams. And I was in the backseat of her car, and I was singing the chorus. And that is really how music got started for me. I'd be at the house and I'll just make up songs. And they were gospel. That's all I knew was gospel music at the time. So that's really where the start began for me musically. In Oklahoma, OKC. That's what I read.
OKC, man. The funny joke about OKC is all you guys have are steakhouses and hotels.
Bunch of steakhouses, a bunch of beautiful hotels. We're developing here, you know. We get a little something over here. It's completely different from when I was a kid. So
yeah.
Say something. We're developing.
So what was Oklahoma like when you was growing up, man? You know, for those who don't really know about the place itself, the state, the city, like what a day in the life of Oklahoma Jordan, Oklahoma kid named Jordan. What does that look like?
So life as an Okie kid, man, really was going to school. For me, at least, going to school, going to church. We had, you know, our little Chuck E. Cheese's for birthdays and everything. But like back then, I say that like I'm old, I'm only 26. But like back when I was coming up, Oklahoma, we didn't have much. I was just being honest. Especially, you know, being a church kid and everything, but no, we did not really have much. It was, you know, we had our restaurants and everything, but I would say 2014 Oklahoma versus 2024 Oklahoma are two different worlds.
Mm.
Two different worlds. When we got the OKC Thunder here, that was a big deal.
Yes.
I remember that announcement at the house when they made their announcements that I forgot what team they were. I think it was the
Sonic.
Yes.
Yeah.
When they were coming to Oklahoma City, and that was like a huge deal for us. And that's when things started to change here, to be honest, when OKC Thunder came into play and we got to the NBA Finals. And that's really when it started to
take over.
Yeah. Because it's affordable to live here. So, yeah. But life as an Oklahoma kid, it wasn't really much. It really wasn't much at all, man.
So the thoughts are true. But I think that's cool, though, man, to see how things can expand and just see, like, the growth for that, man. So you mentioned Yolanda Adams at 1 year old and knowing the music and knowing the songs. And, I mean, I'm always curious for people who not only grew up in church but stayed in church and then also just kind of giving life to God. Did you ever have like moments where you struggled with that, even as you had aspirations of being an artist? Like, what did that look like for you?
Yeah. For me, it was always the battle of the flesh. I can be honest and be transparent. I think when growing up as church kids and everything, you know, especially being young and proclaiming Christ, you know, at a young age, people expect so much from you.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say my battle was my flesh, bro. Like, that's the truth. Flesh would usually win. And then also, too, wanting to fit in with everybody, you know. I'm going to be transparent. Like, I...
Please do. I'm here for that.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to act like that. My entire life, I was in my prayer closet. I was not my entire life. To be honest, I remember my walk with Christ, it was really pure up until I turned about 18, 19. You know, you're out of high school, in college, meeting new people, meeting friends, starting to go to parties and everything. And, you know, I got wrapped up into that stuff. And I remember, this is how much I'm going to be real. I remember there was times that I would show up to church from a party the day before hungover.
Wow.
But I had to go to church, though. That was my safe haven, was that. But no, it definitely has not been, I definitely have not lived a squeaky, clean life. It's not easy. It really isn't. But what helped me when I got older, of course, was the reward at the end. To turn away from certain things and all of that. And that helped me. I can say that that has helped me more now. Because back then, I was wilding. I wasn't the perfect Christian. And it's hard, especially when you have people looking up to you, being on the forefront, leading praise and worship, leading the choir. But outside of this, y'all, I am struggling. So, but that is the truth, man. It's not the easiest thing. And I also feel, too, when you definitely have that call on your life, the enemy is definitely trying to attack you. Now, yes, of course, I do believe that a lot of things are our own choice decisions. I definitely feel that. I'm not going to blame the enemy on everything. I want it to do that. You know, that's just life. But however, I do believe that the enemy has a way of using that and throwing it up. And we have the option to choose whether we're going to do this or we're not going to do this. Back in my day, I would sometimes choose to do it. but I've come so far. And I just thank God for bringing me to that light, you know?
No.
I rededicated my life to Christ back in 2022. Back in 2022, I rededicated my life back to Christ because for years, I was just doing my own thing. Just doing whatever I wanted to do. And it came to a point where I really had to depend. It doesn't mean that since then it's been easy. I've had my days. But yeah, that's just what it is for me, man.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, no, that's, and I, first of all, appreciate the honesty and transparency. I'm always for that, just for one reason. I think everybody walk is different.
Right.
And I never have the assumption that people are perfect. And I even think from the Christian standpoint, if you think there is a perfect Christian, please point them in the direction to me and everybody else. I would appreciate that. But also, you mentioned something I think that's just really, really important is, you know, you were kind of in the face of praise and worship. I feel like, it's, you know, people are coming to you or they're coming to church on Sundays and they're expecting to see your presence and, you know, to give your praise to God, and you're living kind of like a double life, which I feel like, honestly, a lot of people do. And it's just you having that transparency is
It's great. I am curious, in your position outside of the flesh struggle, which I always think this is always a just a human struggle itself. How do you think men in particular? I always think men in particular, this is a ongoing battle. How do you think we become better into understanding a relationship with God and, more importantly, surrendering, which I feel like is the biggest struggle itself?
Well, it is a choice at the end of the day. And I'm sorry, my allergies are bothering me like crazy.
Oh, that's all good.
At the end of the day, it is a choice to do that. The Lord gives us free will for a reason. I was just talking to my coworker about this earlier today. Yes, it is hard to surrender, especially if I can just be, I'm going to use this. If all your life you haven't seen surrender, if you haven't seen an example of someone surrendering, either in your home life or just anything, if we don't have examples of surrenderance, it's harder to do that. I met two amazing people, and they helped me through this. They're a pastor and first lady. This pastor had it all at one point in time. Had it all. And he lost everything, right? But because he made a surrender to God, he made a choice. He had everything, but he made a choice to surrender. I saw what he is. When he surrendered, I now see what he is reaping now. He's reaping a harvest. Now, that is not why I surrendered, because I saw what he has now. But he said, Jordan, because I live my life for Christ, because daily I die to my flesh, because daily I decide to do this, I am reaping this. But yeah, to get to that point of surrenderance, man, and all that, it's really a choice. It's a choice. I really can't explain it anymore. It's your choice to die to yourself. It's your choice to read his word. It's spend time with him. It is a choice to do that. And I do believe the more that you find yourself reading the word, the more you find yourself studying, you start to adapt those principles that are in the word.
Yeah.
And you just start living. It becomes a natural thing. That's what it was for me. I was reading the word. And once I was reading the word, of course, I believed the word. So I started applying it to my life. And it just was a natural thing for me to do. To do that. I would say that I do live my life fully surrendered to God. There's things that I want to do that the Lord says no. Like, for instance, I want to move out of Oklahoma City. I had a whole plan. My whole plan lined up, bro. And nobody was gonna tell me nothing. Not no one. I was like, I'm gonna do it like this. I have this much money saved up. I'm gonna do it like this. And around this time, I'm gonna be coasting. See y'all later. God told me now was not the time. And I was mad. I was pissed because I wanted to get out of here. Yeah. I was pissed.
Where'd you want to go?
I was banking on Chicago. Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
In between those two. Chicago.
Two good places. Can't go wrong either.
Yeah. I love Chicago. And I've never been to Charlotte. But I was just going to start my life over. Of course, carrying my music and everything. But I just wanted a fresh start.
Yeah.
But God told me no. And because I'm surrendered to him, I obeyed. If I was unsurrendered to God, I would have been out of here. And who knows what my life would have been like right now. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Who knows? Mm-hmm. So that is how I would say, bro, like, the surrenderance part, man, it might feel like you don't want to do it, but there is a reward in that. And we may not see the reward right then and there. That reward might come in 10 years, 15 years, where we have to stay faithful. So that's, bro, that's how I feel about surrendering, man. It's a beautiful, it's a beautiful process.
Yeah. There's so many thoughts that are roaming through my mind. Because, I mean, I'll be honest with you, that's a long, a big part of my life. That's always been a big issue for me. It was never the belief. It was never the belief. It was the, you mentioned you wanted to move somewhere and hearing God's voice tell you, no, not right now, right? Delayed, not denial, but in your mind though, you're like, what are you talking about? And
I'm my own person.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And that's all you said. Yeah. And that just happened to me, man. Actually, ironically enough, I was just in Chicago a year ago. I did a year in Chicago. I'm from St. Louis.
Okay.
And so
I got fam up there.
And where? In St. Louis? Yeah. Best place to be, man. Best place to be. Midwest. And so I did my year there, man, and I got an opportunity to come back. It didn't make any sense to me, really. It was just kind of like a, but it made sense when I came back. It made sense. But it was definitely something I had to wrestle with. I was crying for about 3 days because I had, like, something told me I had to come back. It just, and it makes sense now, and it's starting to make more sense, but those 3 days were rough.
I understand. You were obedient.
Yeah.
You were obedient, and that's another thing too. With the surrenderance, it comes with obedience.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be surrendered but not obey.
Mm-hmm.
Being surrendered requires obedience, and that also to me is hard. Is being obedient. Mm-hmm. For instance, your mom could say, "Don't touch that stove."
You know not to touch the stove.
You know not to, right?
Yeah.
But she walk away, and you don't do it in front of her, right? She walks away, but when she ain't looking, you touch it. You being disobedient. And that's how I look at it. You surrender to your mom's rule just right then and there. But when she walked away, and when things started to simmer down, what happened? You were disobedient. Yeah. So with surrender, you have to stick with it, and in the long process, you have to be obedient. But you were obedient to what you heard about. I gotta go back home. I don't want to, but
it's over. It didn't make no sense to me, and a lot of things that happened to me in the past 3-4 years have not made sense to me. It was very swift things, and a lot of questions. And so, like I said, man, 3 weeks ago, I was like, I knew about 2 months ago about rededicating my life. It's my first time I've ever been baptized. I never got baptized when I was a kid, and I was very appreciative of my mom and my parents not really forced that upon me. And we grew up Kojic. So, I mean, yeah, so, you know, that gives you more of an insight. You know, why I was even more surprising, but they always just kind of gave me the ability to kind of make that decision on my own, because I was always asking questions. I think they got tired of me asking questions. And just like anybody else, you just go through a period of your life where you're just trying to figure out what
you do,
what's right and what's wrong. And I start recognizing, I'm like, well, okay, there's something here. There's something here. And right. One of my favorite books, I feel like everybody should, I feel like we'll have that experience, is the Book of Job. I feel like that's the main book. That's the main one. I feel like I find myself reading all the time. Job and Proverbs for me.
And Proverbs is the book of wisdom. You know, Proverbs is great. A lot of things in there that I can just dive into and have a whole conversation. But Job, man, when I tell you, I feel like I have been living the Book of Job these past couple years. You know, and the fact of the matter is, and I hope I'm quoting it correctly, the enemy and God had a conversation about tempting Job. Mm-hmm. God allowed him that to happen because he was so sure about Job's faith.
Uh-huh.
Though you slay me, yet will I trust him. Like, it's that Job is a powerful book. And I do recommend that to anyone that feels that they are losing their mind. If everything is happening, read Job. Read Job, but not just the stories you heard. Not about the regular ad-libs you hear in these songs. Job lost everything he had. No, read the entire book of Job. Mm-hmm. It will bless you. It will encourage you.
No.
It will definitely encourage you. Yeah, no. Yeah. Yeah. You know, on the same with them Jobs and Proverbs.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And I'm curious, though, from your perspective, do you think there is a renaissance in church today? I think there was a point where like a lot of younger people, and you're a little bit younger than me, but I feel like a lot of younger people were turning away from church. And yeah, we're kind of seeing a resurgence of younger people come back. Why do you think, from your perspective, you think that's happening?
Oh, Lord, I might get canceled. This is why me and my friends were talking about me being on the podcast. I might get canceled. Great opportunity. Bro, I think that our generation and a generation before us saw a lot of BS in the church.
Yep.
They saw a lot that did not make sense. For a while, we just went along with things because it was the church bylaws and it was even written in the Bible. I think the traditionalism of church, we got tired of.
Yeah.
I grew up Baptist.
Ooh. That's all I need here.
Yeah, I grew up Baptist. And when I was coming up, I was one of the younger ones in the church, and I had so much fire. So much fire in a Baptist church, that ain't likely, you know. You know, but I'm grateful that, you know, they allowed me to be creative with the fire that the Lord gave me. Some, a lot of churches aren't like that. But back to your question, a lot of us, we didn't understand, because with that, church adopted to having a culture, mm-hmm. church culture. Our generation does not fit into the church
culture.
No. We didn't like it. We stood up against it. And we saw a lot of memberships go down like this. When then you have these commercialized churches.
Mm-hmm.
On the scene. And it was a midway, because you got your word, you got your little praise and worship in under an hour, and you know, it kept them somewhat connected. But I do believe that now our generation is wanting something more.
Yeah.
We are at a place, because we went through the stages. We went through traditionalism, right? Coming up, we saw our parents be locked into the church. We saw that. Then now it's like, okay, but what y'all got going on ain't cool. I don't like that. So then we went through the commercialized church. Our service, maybe if the Lord is there, an hour and 10 minutes. And, you know, and that gets old. It gets mundane.
Yeah.
So now we are at a place where I believe that revival is coming.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that revival is starting to happen. Yep. We want to see miracles, signs, wonders that were done back in the Bible days, back in the book of Acts. We want to see that happen again. So, yeah, there's definitely a renaissance going on in the church right now to where we just want more of God.
Yep.
We don't want a regular sermon about how we need to get better. We want to experience him. Yeah, bro. We're definitely in a resurgence.
Yeah, that's something. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that was it. That was it. You said it's happening. Yeah. It's just something I
just paid attention to, man. I was just like, I mean, it was just a large, I was thinking maybe 5-6 years ago. I'm like, it's just such a large disconnect where people don't even like the idea of going. And I don't even think what you said is really cancelable. Now, if you were to start going into mega pastors and stuff from very perfect,
I'm trying to tell you.
Then maybe we would have went down that route, man. You know, I just think, I just think people want something that's real, man. I just think people want real, raw. And I think the main thing is relevant in today's time. I think that's why it was such a, I think that's why it was such a disconnect, was because people didn't feel like they can go into these places with their current thoughts. And usually, I mean, unfortunately, it was the older members of his
perfect, bro.
And, older members.
Right. And I want to piggyback off of what you said when you said they want to go, because we, bless them, Lord. Where we are at now, we really know the depths of him. We want that relationship, but the word of God, we really, I think now there's more of a diving into when it pertains to the word of God. There's more of an explanation. It's not just, I always tell people, read the whole scripture for its context, not just what you like, to get some amens and some tags. Mm-hmm. I believe now we are definitely dissecting the scripture word for word.
Yep.
To really see what it says and where it applies. We're going through a resurgence, and it's needed.
Yeah.
It's needed.
An idea just came to my mind. This might actually get you canceled now. I don't know anything about your personal life. I don't know if you have a relationship or anything, but dating and Christian dating in particular is very interesting. And I feel like you may actually have a better insight on this perspective than I do. When people say they want a man of God or a woman of God, from your perspective, are they looking at it the wrong way?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, tell me why.
When people say, I want a man of God, they see, okay, Holy Ghost, help me with this. And I can only talk from my experience.
Please, yeah, for sure, 100%.
They see the lights. They see the stage. They see what they do for that moment. But the behind the scenes of being a man of God, they don't want. They're not ready for.
Okay.
That's the same thing with when it pertains to, I want a woman of God. Being people of God and having a call on your life is not just about holding the microphone. It's not just about on stage, being on a platform. It is not just about that. It is about your daily relationship with him. It is about, because when I see a woman, a woman of God to me is someone that sacrifices her flesh daily, that reads the word, that is adapting biblical principles to their life. That's a woman of God. That's the same thing with the man of God. a man of God is definitely doing all that he can to live the life of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say that they want that, I don't think they are really prepared for it. I really don't.
Oh, goodness.
I don't. I don't think they really know the depths of this. They don't. They don't understand what it is mm-hmm. like. Being called and being chosen.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I can say now, especially since I've definitely been seeking the Lord, and it, you do spend a lot of time alone.
Mm-hmm.
You are not supposed to be like, yeah, you have your friends, you have people that you hang out with, you have people that, you know, mentor you and all that stuff, but you're not supposed to be seen everywhere.
Yeah,
bro, I had to learn that.
Yeah.
I had to learn that because I wanted to go out. I wanted to do this, but I can't ruin my witness. So tying that back into being a man of God, being a woman of God, when they say they want that, especially dating in the church, they don't know what it all comes with. You yeah. being a man of God, you get unwanted attention.
Mm-hmm.
Being a woman of God, I'm sure, I don't know what they go through because I'm not a woman, but I'm sure that they get unwanted attention. It's
yeah.
not easy. So I don't think that they really know what they're getting themselves into. They just see a man preaching on stage or a woman preaching or prophesying, and they like that power
yeah.
that they have. The anointing makes you attractive. I'm about to cancel for that, but it's the truth. The anointing over someone's life, it can make them attractive. And a lot of times, I don't want to blame it on them. I think unknowingly they do it. Unknowingly they don't know. What are your takes? What are your thoughts on it?
Man, I mean, I have two lenses here. So I'm a counselor. I'm finishing up to be a therapist. So there's relationship issues already as is that I feel like a lot of people aren't really fully prepared to really unpack and dive into. And when I have had a chance to even do a couple sessions, I can tell you within the first 20 minutes, I'm like, yeah, you guys just aren't ready. Even myself, like there's things I've learned about myself where what I think somebody may have wanted, not necessarily I could not provide, it just might not be in the same space for one of us to kind of coexist. Like, I don't believe you can put a square and a circle together. Oh, they can do that. And then I've looked at it from a Christian standpoint. I do think that we are called and chosen to do different things. Right. I also think you cannot put a square and a circle together in those spaces either. And I think nailed the head on the head about the imagery of what that looks like. I often, when I hear that statement, I often do think of leaders in churches and pastors.
Right.
It's a power that comes with that. There is a calling and an anointing. Everybody is not driven to be or led to be a pastor of a church. Takes a special person.
And a man of God is not just someone up there.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
I think people look for, they're looking for places and looking at people in the wrong places.
Yeah.
Really, the real man of God really is in the congregation, sitting, chilling.
Mm-hmm.
Not wanting to be seen, not wanting to, you know, draw attention. To me, that's the real man and woman of God, is a regular lay member that just loves the Lord, or someone on the welcome team. Or so, and I think that's what we need to get out of our heads about men of God, women of God. They're the only ones holding the mic. No, they're literally sitting right next to you. Yeah. And you're ignoring them. So those are really where the real ones are.
That might get you canceled.
Well, yeah, I get me.
Sure, I think it goes back to choice, man. People, people like the image. It is a connection that people want. When they think of these things, they think of powerful people. So you're not wrong at all. I know that might be controversial. Somebody at some point when this comes out, oh man, that man tripping. He don't know what he's talking about.
Nah, it's the truth though.
Most people in churches that I have, at least in conversations that I've had, both men and women often feel overlooked because they may not be in the position that the person that they think may or they desire, just they're looking at two different things. They're seeing this person for the quality of who they are. The other person is seeing what they do,
right.
And not recognizing the other character traits that they can present to add more to their life. So yeah, it's a big thing when I see it all the time. And like I said, I have two lenses, and I just think people need to focus more so on the quality of a person more so than what they do.
Correct. Because that man of God, woman of God can be out there laying hands, preaching, but they are a devil behind the scenes.
I'm going to leave it at that. That can go so many ways. And
so three ways.
Yeah. So I'm curious, man. I know you last year, I could be wrong. Did you drop a project last year?
Yeah. I dropped a project last year. I recorded that in 2022.
Okay.
It's my first live recording.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful, beautiful experience that I will never, ever take away. I learned a lot. That was my first album. Yeah, my first album. I learned a lot. The process was beautiful, and the songs on there are pretty decent, I think.
Yeah, I got a couple songs that I did get a chance to play, and I want to make sure I'm saying the ones I like correctly.
Go ahead.
The Expectation song I enjoyed,
yeah.
The Glory Zone, and then I got to It's Sweeping. So I got to the first eight songs. Man, it's something about gospel music, man. It makes you want to cry every time, man. But I think it does. This, and I was just hearing the vocals and the chorus, and I was just like, this is God really talking to me right now, man. Just through your hearts, man. So it's a beautiful project. So outside of Yolanda Adams that you mentioned, who else were maybe some of your inspirations growing up? Maybe you may have emulated.
Yeah, the Clark Sisters.
No.
Clark Sisters.
Aya is one of my favorite songs ever.
Aya is fire.
Yes.
Oh, hiya. Oh, hiya. Yeah, the Clark Sisters, but particularly Twinkie.
Mm-hmm.
I love her because she wrote all the songs, produced a lot of their work, which was very rare of a female to produce back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Her vocals were, she's the blueprint. And I love how she can tie in scripture with the song and it makes sense.
Yeah.
So, Twinkie was definitely and is my biggest inspiration. I used to watch her videos when I was a kid to study her pacing, study her phrasing, study her word, her words in her songs in the arrangements. So definitely, the Clark Sisters are one. Miranda Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
Of Miranda Curtis. Miranda, if you ever see this video, know that Jordan Oliver from Oklahoma City is your biggest fan.
Biggest fan.
Miranda just is out of this. She's out of this world. Vocally, she's insane. Vocally insane. Her arrangements on her album, especially BGV-wise, are stupid. I can talk about Miranda all day. So yeah, there's Yolanda, the Clark Sisters, Miranda. Of course, there's Kurt Carr. There's Richard Smallwood.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Lawrence. I love Donald Lawrence. And of course, Kirk Franklin.
Kirk Franklin. I was waiting on Kirk Franklin. Marvin Sapp.
Marvin Sapp is dope. Marvin Winans, the Winans family. I grew up listening to gospel music, real gospel music.
Yeah.
Because my parents, they were older when they had me. So I grew up in, of course, in an older home. So I heard a lot of those songs.
Yeah.
And that's all I heard coming up. So they influenced a lot of this record, a lot of this, these songs from this current album.
Man, that's cool. So what do you think is your, if you don't mind sharing, what do you think is the ultimate goal for you, man? What do you think God has placed for you to do in this life?
I think the ultimate goal for me is to just minister through song. I say this, of course, I would love to win Stellar Awards. I would love to want to go to the Grammys, win Dove Awards. But the ultimate goal for me, bro, is to just minister and to help people. I went through a lot this past year. And when I was going through it, I was just like, okay. Because my mom passed last year.
Oh, wow.
And my dad passed away this year.
Mm.
And it wasn't even like a full year when my mom passed and my dad passed away. So I went through a lot of grief, and those days were not easy. Some of my rough days. But now that I'm out of it, I now know why I went through it. And it's to be a help to someone, to minister to someone, to make a difference in someone's life. That is my ultimate goal. To write songs to heal people, to help them. That is why I'm here. Even in my secular job, I'm helping people. And that's why I was created, bro. I was created to help, to minister, to uplift, to love on people, and to just show them the love of God. So that's my ultimate goal.
Man, it almost made me cry, man.
Yeah, God, you put a Stellar in there, beautiful. If you put a Grammy in there, let's go. I know it's a long journey. It's not an easy journey.
No.
It's not, but I'm committed to it. I committed to the music ministry. And I make sure I put ministry in there, not just the music. I'm committed to the music ministry.
Ministry.
So, yeah, bro, that's the ultimate goal.
Man, that was one. My condolences. I know it's never really a proper time to say it or hear it, but that's a lot. And it also makes a lot more sense why you feel like you connect more with the Book of Job, man. That's a lot to navigate and experience, man. So thank you for sharing all that, really. Because to me, those things, they always give me perspective on what's important. And I think, especially black man to black man, just want you to know I love you, man. Never met you in my life. But genuinely, I want us to all succeed in what we do.
Right.
And the fact that you feel like you are doing what God's called you to do, man, is beautiful, man. And I really appreciate you taking the time to talk about this, man. Just talk about so much. You give me so much insight in a short amount of time, and also so much faith to continue to do the things that I need to do with my walk with God, man. So I appreciate you taking the time. Where can people find you on social media?
They can find me on IG. I Can Only Be Jordan. They can find me on Facebook, Jordan Oliver. I believe my Threads is I Can Only Be Jordan. That's how I met you.
Dude, I'll tell you, that is the craziest thing. I think that's, I would tell you that's when I, it happened so quick, man. If I can just kind of briefly put, I've been podcasting maybe five, 6 years and done different variations of it. So this is my newest variations. And I will say maybe about a month ago,
I'm like, man, I'm tired of all this. Not because it just wasn't getting anywhere, but I just think, you know, things kind of service this point of time. And I'm going to say it was God, man. God told me to go on Threads.
I had it last year. I had it last year, and I didn't think much of it. And I'm like, man, I'm going to just start, like, again, got this time. I'm going to start using Threads more. Let's see what happens, man. And I put that post out, and I was like, wait. 5-10 and it kept going. I was like, okay, now I got the emails. I'm gonna reach out. I was like, ain't nobody gonna really respond to this. And then I was like, wait, y'all actually booking to do this? And it's happened so quick, and it's definitely given me a rejuvenated spirit. And I think it's really cool to connect with people and learn more about their stories, man. And you have another great story.
Because you're called to do this, literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a God. That was God giving you a sign, telling you, "Hey, this is what you should be doing right now." And I want to say this, like, and this is a beautiful thing too. I know we got to wrap this up.
No, you're good.
But you're a therapist, correct?
Yes.
And you're also Christian.
Yes.
We need more of that. We do. Need more of that, and I believe that. Because Christians, a lot of, especially us Black Christians, especially the older ones, have a hard time going into therapy. But when they see people like you doing it, just know you're going to change a lot of lives. And I believe that.
Oh, I really do believe. I was talking to my mom about this maybe about a month ago, because I'm not fully licensed yet, so that's why I have to say I'm a counselor in training. But she was like, dude, you have no idea once you're like officially done,
right?
The amount of people that are going to call you,
right?
Just because of the need itself, and she was like, that's the reason why we believe God called me to come back home, is because there is such a shortage of that, and even in my short stint with building clients, man, it has been crazy the amount of people that like let me know when you're done fully, because it is a need, man. And I my goal hopefully is to I guess help people along the way, man, because the cool part about when you do it, you really get to see yourself in these spaces too. Maybe you don't experience the same thing, but probably went through something similar. I say the best therapists are the ones who went through the most stuff, and I've been through a lot. So I try my best to, you know, navigate and do that. And I really do thank God for that, because none of it made sense then, but it's all starting to make sense now. It's so clear as day. There's like moments I'm like, God literally made me go through this. So 2 years later, it makes sense to tell somebody else how to navigate through it. It's a different strength and resilience, man. So no, seriously, bro, I appreciate you taking the time, man, and really, having this great conversation. And for those who are listening, make sure to check out his album. Remind me the name of the album.
Glory Zone.
The Glory Zone. It's on Apple. Is it on all streaming platforms? Apple, Spotify. Beautiful music, beautiful song, beautiful person. All the things that you really want to accomplish, I really pray and hope that you do, because you definitely are an amazing talent. And you're still young. I'm 29, you're 26. When you said 26, I was like, I'm getting there. I'm getting up there. It does something to me when I hear somebody say, I'm 26 now. I'm like, oh, I remember that a couple years ago.
Six to me is old. I felt it when I turned it this year. I woke up and I'm like, yikes, this is 26 for real.
Yeah. Hold that thought real quick. Hey, for those, again, make sure to check his album out. Again, this has been another great episode of Knowing is Knowing Podcast. Appreciate you all. Till next time, peace and God bless.